Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where Mommy Matters is a double entendre that states and declares that mommies matter, where we have conversations surrounding mommy matters from conception to pregnancy to postpartum, mother and father wounds, dating, mindfulness and self-care, spirituality, parenting, discipline, legislation, money, and so much more. It is my hope and my prayer that the information that you gather here serves as a blueprint for generational and individual ascension. Enjoy.
All right. All right, welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, and I am your host, Cecile of Mommy Evolve, the creative director of Mommy Evolve. And here on Mommy Matters, we talk about all those things that matter to moms, right? And so today I have a special guest in honor of Black History Month. I really wanted to talk about granny midwives and that legacy that we stand on, myself is included as a postpartum doula. To really just get a greater sense. And today we have a midwife in training who comes from a legacy of those granny midwives that we have hopefully heard of, and we can learn so much from. And so I wanted to introduce Diamond. Diamond.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said hello, sorry.
Yes. Hello. So Diamond, tell us about yourself, about your business. Just introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, so I am Diamond. I am a full spectrum doula. I am the co-founder of Mamisi's Birth Services. We are a doula training organization. We train full spectrum doulas from conception all the way to age 5. So you can be a postpartum doula for that time period between immediate postpartum and age 5 with gentle parenting, potty training, things like that. I am the co-founder of Black Baby Wearing Week. We celebrate Black baby wearers all over the world, from America to Africa. We celebrate all types of baby wearing. I am the founder of Black Women Do Baby Wear. I do a lot of things around birth work and the birth spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So tell us about your journey into that space. How did you get into that space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my first experience with birth was with my mom, who is a midwife. She's a certified nursing midwife. So I've been around birth and babies basically my entire life. I caught my first baby, my little brother, at age 9. My mom had him on New Year's Day. Wow. In the bathroom. He was like, he came really fast, and it was just me, her, and my little sister, and she was just like, you got it, and I was like, I got it, and I caught him, and like, we have a special bond. That is like, he's my first baby, and so at that time, I knew that I wanted to be in the birthing field. I thought I wanted to be an OBGYN, and then I thought I wanted to be a neonatologist. I went to school for pre-med to become a neonatologist. I interned at St. Vincent Hospital in New York City. I realized I did not want to be a doctor. I didn't have enough time with my patients. I was written up a lot. I was spending too much time with my patients. We had a 15-minute quota. I easily went over that 15 minutes just with me running my mouth. I am a talker. I like to engage. I like to interact. I want to touch the babies. I want to make sure that you're okay and you understand everything. And that took way longer than the 15 minutes we were given. My mom's friend, who was a trainer with the Carriage House, was like, why don't you just try become a doula and then revisit what you want to do? And never went back. When she trained me, that was it. I was a doula, and I've been a doula ever since. I've been doing doula work. I've been teaching, I've been mentoring, and then I just kept taking other trainings with other organizations, because I am a forever student. That is just what I love to do. And yeah, and then my grandma was like, you do it basically. She was like, why don't you just try to become a midwife? And I'll train you. My grandmother is a traditional midwife, and she's one of the last ones in our family. And so I've been training under my grandmother, and this is my heart work. It's my passion. I didn't realize that this was just something like I had to grow into and I had to be ready for. I wasn't ready to be a midwife when I was 27, 28. And it would have been best for me to start early, but it wasn't my time. And so now that I'm a little older, I'm 31, I am definitely in my space. This is my space where I'm happy. I'm able to engage with my patients. I'm able to learn and be hands-on and learn what my grandmother taught me and learn what her mother taught her and to go through that process.
That is such a powerful story. I'm telling you, it's like you dropped so many gems in there. So I'm going to ask some questions. Sort of tease out some things, okay?
Yes.
First of all, let's define doula first of all.
Yes.
I realize that we're saying this because we're in the space, but many people don't know what that is. So if you were to define a doula, how would you define that?
So a doula is like your best friend who knows about birth. She's not your medical provider. You see your OBGYN and she tells that medical provider tells you all the things that you need to know on the medical side. But your doula is someone who you're like, oh, I'm feeling iffy today. What can I do to help me? And she's like, girl, open some shades. This happened to me before, and this is what I did to help. So she's not giving you medical information. She's giving you care, and she's giving you love, and she's giving you advice that you can take or not take. It's completely up to you. This is not medical information. This is just advice. Like for example, I've had clients say, I'm nauseous. Is this normal? And I'm like, yeah, I was nauseous too the first couple weeks. And this is what helped me. And not like brushing so far back helped me with like just things like that. Where your medical provider is like, this is the medication you can take. And this is why this is happening. And they can give you the science part of that, if that makes sense.
That makes lots of sense. That was the first question. And I define a doula in the same way, basically. It's like a mom's helper, a mom's friend.
Yes.
And, you know, the term or the role of doula used to be wrapped up in what midwives did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Midwives, as well as other people in your community, your mom, your sister, if you had, you know, those kind of things did that. So midwives is kind of like, sort of took what a midwife does and sort of become a little bit more medicalized midwives. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And doulas are like the home part of it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's kind of been kind of restructured in a way, because I'm sure your grandmother and great grandmother, they would deal with the birth of the baby and the quote unquote, what we now consider to be the medical part of it, as well as go visit the family afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Somebody see what's happening, set up the nursery. Yeah,
exactly. As well as people who are trying to conceive, because as you said, you do up until, you know, from conception, right?
Yes.
So teaching them about their bodies, and men too.
Yes.
About their bodies and how, you know, how this thing works, right?
Yes. Like all the hormones, the things that you can take, the foods that you should be eating to help support these hormones and to help support the time that you're trying to have a baby or trying to avoid having a baby. We need care during all of these times, all the seasons of our life.
Absolutely. I love that you said that we need care through all the seasons of our lives, right? And it's okay to ask for care, and it's okay to have people who, you know, we can trust with our bodies and our minds to help, you know, to care for
us.
And who doesn't like to be taken care of, man?
Right?
I like to be nurtured and pampered personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. The other thing that you said was carriage house. Can you explain what carriage house is?
Oh, so Carriage House is, well, they're still in existence. It's a doula agency, a doula training agency. She was a trainer with them at the time. And so that's all. They're just a doula agency.
Okay. Yeah. So I love that you explained your journey in a way where it's like, you know, you thought that the goal or the role would be, let me go to medical school and be
yes.
neonatal nurse or a OBGYN or one of those things. And it turned into you becoming equally as important role, by the way.
Yes.
This is not a degrading or a downgrading
yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. But you came back really to your family's history of mm-hmm. doing these things in the community for women. And I love that
yes.
You talked about the realities of being in the medical system and not really being able to spend time with and care for mm-hmm. The clients in the way that really they need it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody knows if you go to the doctor, the few minutes that you spend in there, you feel like you're being rushed, whether you're having mm-hmm. it or not. You feel like you're being rushed. You feel like you have more questions you want to ask or whatever the case may be. And you kind of have to rush through. You got to have them prepared or whatever the case may
yes.
be. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes follow-up questions yeah. happen and those kinds of things. And so that's some of the things that we're dealing with in the medical system. And one of the reasons why things like doulas are important because they bring that extra care to the equation. And so, yes. Of course, I highly recommend having a doula support on your team, your birthing team.
Yes, we're important to the whole team. I don't think people realize that you need an entire birth team. Yes. You need someone who's there, who's gonna have your back. You need someone who's there for medical advice. You need an herbalist so she can figure out what holistic approaches you can take. We need people, we need a community. And I think that's what's missing is we have parts of a team and we have like a third of a team. We don't have the entire team to support us wholly.
Yes, holistically, I totally.
Yes.
Totally. And sometimes it's because we don't know what is out there, right?
Yeah.
So there needs to be more education and empowerment around what is available, what can be done.
Yep.
You know, I remember learning when I first became a postpartum doula 2016, and I guess I lucked out, you could say, because one of the first families that I worked with happened to be a woman who needed sibling support because mm-hmm. she was a birth worker herself and she was very
yeah. you know,
knowledgeable in traditional ways at that. She's a Mexican mm-hmm. family, a woman from Central or South America, I should say.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it is Mexico, obviously. But she said that, you know, she told me about chiropractors, you know.
Yes.
And I was like, a baby can go to a chiropractor? Like, I did not know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't even know the level of support you can receive to make your transition into parenting more mm-hmm. smooth. Because
yes.
it's not often discussed. It's only discussed on the level of the medicalized, you know, way of
yeah. life.
And that's a whole nother conversation to even get into the
right?
history, the history of midwifery and the laws, the Shepherd's Town
Act, yes. and
other things. But those are things to definitely look up, because one thing that is beautiful is that we do have a lot of firsthand accounts and books from midwives themselves. So, mm-hmm. you know, that is something that is still in existence.
Yes.
And so I love that you said that and that you really talk about, you know, really going with what felt good for you and being able mm-hmm. to thrive in that, right?
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the day in the life of a doula. Like what, and let's yes. start with a birth doula. Okay, no, let's start with a conception doula, because I recently took a body literacy class and I thought that mm-hmm. I knew my body pretty well, but that class just took me even deeper.
Yes.
Into the
So typically when my clients hire me, they're hiring me for to be a fertility doula. So that would be finding out. So with a typical client, I will find out if they're trying to become pregnant or they're trying to avoid pregnancy. And depending on their journey is where we go. So if they're trying to, well, either way, we figure out a meal plan to support their season and their life. So they have to have a meal plan. What herbal remedies that you should have in your closet, with what medications you're taking, what type of lifestyle you live. Are you someone who sleeps the morning away and wake up in the afternoon? And if that's what season you're in, then we can have something where you're taking herbal remedies that are not necessarily used during the morning, that can be best used to work after you wake up after 12. We go through their lifestyle. We go through if they are able to take tinctures, or is teas the best option for them? Are they able to have time where they can even take any herbal remedy? Some people's lives are fast and they'll forget. So they're like, listen, I can't take something daily, but I can take something 2 or 3 times a week, and we can figure it out that way. So we figure out what is the best schedule and the best system for their lives in order to support them in this season. And so that's typically what happens during my session. And I have about 3 clients per day, and we go through this process. It takes about 90 minutes, and it's just because I have an intake form. So I have the information when we are coming into our consultation or into our appointment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it takes about 90 minutes. Yeah. And we just do a run through of their lives.
I love that you say that it's catered to their lifestyle. That is so, and your lifestyle isn't just this is what I feel like doing. Your lifestyle is based on your unique design. Like, mm-hmm. It's just what it is. You know, one of the things that I learned was about chronotypes. And I was like, well, that's why I like to wake up. You know, I'm an early riser, and then mm-hmm. 5 p.m. don't talk to me. Like, because it's not going to be a very good conversation.
Yes, that's how people are. Like, we're not lazy people, and we're not people who want to sleep in. Like, if our body is made to just wake up after 12, that is what we will naturally do, and it is not going to change. Mm. And so instead of working against your body and against your lifestyle, we work with your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love that. I think that makes so much more sense, because, you know, you end up beating yourself up your whole life thinking there's something wrong with you. And it's like, no, this is the way you're supposed to function.
That's just who we are biologically. And we can work with you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cater to what we naturally do just as people.
Exactly. Exactly. So I love that you work from that level, because it's so important too, to just know yourself. You know, you're mm-hmm. walking into a parenting, if you want to go into a parenting situation, you're walking into it knowing yourself, so that you're better able to transfer that understanding to how you know your children, right?
Yes. Yes.
In your bloodline or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the day in the life of a doula for you, for a birth doula. A birth doula.
Oh, a birth doula. So my birth doula work is a little more hectic. I typically speak to my clients once a day just to do a check-in to see how they're doing, to see if anything's changed. They need to contact their medical provider for anything, any information, because my clients will forget. If I don't ask them, they won't think it's important, and they won't tell me until way later. So I check in to make sure everything is okay. We go through, so if we are having an appointment, we go through what we're going to talk about, the things that we'll need. If we're doing like a home birth setup, I'll ask them to make sure that everything is set up so we can just walk through and we don't have to wait to blow anything up. I'll ask them what have they eaten. I'll typically send recipes to my clients. Ooh. Or graphics so that they know what they need. I remind them to make one for now and one to put in the freezer for later. And we go through birth plans. We go through we go through affirmations. I've been doing Canva wallpapers mm-hmm. with my clients mm-hmm. with their birth affirmation, what type of birth they would like, with their birth plan. And so they look at it, they see it, they have it, it's easily accessible. And that is pretty much it. And that's just like depending on, I don't like constantly ask them their birth plan, but it's like, that's typically what is going on. I've been taking 6 births a year, so that I can focus on my clients and I can, we can have like a steady and I can like really focus. Mm-hmm. I found that's like the magic number for me is 6. Yeah. So that's typically what happens.
That's excellent. Thank you. I think it's good that you found a sweet spot and that you really, I love the affirmations and, you know, yes. It's really about empowering, you know, empowering families to really trust mm-hmm. themselves is what I've noted. I mean, I didn't go into birth work personally because I know myself, I like to sleep. So
that's how my daughter is. She said the same thing. She's like, she loves postpartum work. She loves the overnight work. She's like, I'm not a birth. She's like, I'll assist, but I'm not, I can't right. be the one there.
Right. Like waiting and all of that. Yeah. And postpartum work. So do you only do birth? Do you do postpartum work? Like, I guess with the families that you do the births with, you go to some postpartum visits after.
Yeah. So I offer birth and postpartum with my clients. Typically I offer all 3, but recently it's been just birth and postpartum work. Postpartum is like my heart. That is where my talents lie. That is me. I love baby wearing. I love teaching baby wearing. I love meal prepping. I love talking about the meals that they need, the soups and the stews and the lions. I love talking about that. That's where I'm at this point in my life is I love postpartum work. I think because I've been teaching, so my daughter is 16 and she wants to be a doula. So I've been teaching her postpartum doula work and she loves postpartum. And I think seeing her learn and like being so engaged and being so interested in it made me like love it even more because that's when around the time my love started was when I saw her face like glow at her first visit. And I'm like, that's my baby.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I love postpartum work as well. You know, just as you said, the home domesticity is for me. Yes. I like that. It really is. You know, I learning myself and learning that about myself is definitely interesting to know, but it's really, really doesn't fall far from the tree because my mom was, you know, like, you know, my grandma, like they were, that's where they thrived as well. So that's the case, but yeah, I love that is that your daughter is picking up the torch. And you know, carrying that torch from you, it's like it's really generational. And honestly, that's how it was, right? Historically. Now we have people who are choosing to get into birth work. I think a lot of people who are choosing probably have some kind of history, you know.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed, especially in my training when we talk about it. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, I asked my mom and she said that my grandma was a midwife. And I'm like, that's typically where it is. Somebody's spirit is stirring.
Yep, I've noticed that as well, you know, and I think that there's something about that because I feel like you have not just book knowledge, but it's like you have a line of ancestry to whisper in your ear.
Yes.
You
know? Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's extremely powerful, and I love that women like yourself are really picking up the torch and, you know, carrying it, especially when it comes to traditional medicine and traditional ways of doing things, because as I always say, it doesn't have to be a fight between science and tradition. Like, it really
doesn't. Yes, they should work hand in hand. When we learn about the sciences of herbs and herbal remedies and herbal medicines, it works hand in hand with modern science. It works, it's supposed to work together.
Exactly.
Yeah, most doctors don't see it that way.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's, I don't know, I can surmise that it's a monetary thing and that it's a ego thing, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And it's a battle between intuition, you know, the woman's intuition and that space being, you know, that feminine intuition space. Yes. And the space of, you know, mechanics and machinery. And
yes, you know, exactly.
Being precise and, you know, all those things. But if we take a look at historically, like it really does not have to be a battle. It can really flow with one another. And that's, you know, that's where I am in the space personally, trying to advocate for more preservation of natural ways or indigenous ways of doing things, and not having it become, I don't even want to say industrialized, because that's not the word that I'm looking for, but constantly co-opted into something where it like pushes regular women out of the space of like, you know, birthing being like this expensive privileged thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, especially with these trainings. I'm working so hard to get us into our trainings and to get back to we don't have to sacrifice not regular life, but like our 9-to-5 jobs to take these trainings and to follow our passions. We can do it, and we don't have to spend like a buttload of money. These trainings are so expensive, and it's my goal for it not to be as expensive and for you to follow your passion and do it without sacrificing a whole lot.
Exactly. And just having it be something that's knowledge that women have, you know, that families have. It's like, this is, everybody comes to this earth through birth.
Yes.
Something that needs to be this, there's some exclusivity around it.
Right.
Stuff. It's like, new, please.
All right.
And so I'm glad that you are, you know, advocating and doing your advocacy in that way. If you could express anything to mothers, what would you, or and fathers, express?
Okay, so to fathers, find another father in the birth space and speak to him, please. Sit down, like ask him, is there anything that he needs to know? Ask him what classes he's taken. Ask him questions, please. My husband teaches other dads. So if his page is the Baby Run Dad. He has a lot of page, a lot of information there.
What's the name of his page?
I'm sorry, the Baby Run Dad.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
He has a lot of information. He answers his inboxes relatively quickly. You'll get him within 24 hours. Please speak to other dads. Get some information. Take childbirth and education classes. If you can, take a doula class, because you can hire a doula and that is amazing, but you also have to have the knowledge and you also have to know what to do in these rooms. And then because of COVID, your doula may not be able to come into the birthing space. You have to know and be prepared how you can help your partner. So definitely take classes. So moms, I will also advise taking childbirth education classes. I will also advise taking baby wearing classes, take some workshops, some mommy and me classes, if you can. Some of these classes are free and at YMCAs and at community centers. So definitely take a class. Hire postpartum doulas, please. Birth doulas are important. Like all the doulas, right, are important, but hire a postpartum doula, even if it's for a couple of nights a week. I would advise you to sit down and figure out what do you need. Like for example, I made a post, like my family will take care of me through fertility. They will take care of me through pregnancy and birth. But during postpartum, I want to isolate myself. I naturally just want to isolate myself and be alone. I push my family away. And so they don't typically take care of me how I'm supposed to be taken care of during my postpartum period. So I would invest in a postpartum doula, because a postpartum doula is going to be like, I'm here. It's my job to be here. I need to be here. And like, you can ignore me, but I'm going to be here for you. And I need that. I need that type of energy. I can't take that energy from my mother, because then I'll get sensitive. So I need it from someone who is there professionally and there to do their job. So figure out what type of doula or birth worker you need and hire them. And if you can't afford to get all the doulas, get all the doulas. I had two with my last daughter. I had a C-section, a traumatic birth, and I was suffering through postpartum depression. Like, I had a lot going on. Mm. I needed two doulas, and I was able to afford it. If you can, get all the doulas. Mm. If you can't, figure out what type of help you need and get that help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's best to have one in your back pocket than not.
Right? Right.
You can hire, you know, for a certain number of hours, because that's how I do it. Well, I work through a doula mm-hmm. agency. So, you know, because me and marketing and all of that, listen, so, we have tons of doula agencies that are popping up now.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's definitely a way, and that's a way to plan, because that's always a conversation mm-hmm. that I like for us to have more as a birth worker community, is about how to prepare financially for having a baby.
Yeah.
Right. And yes. what it is that you really need and what you don't need, and how to really think through finances, knowing mm-hmm. about federal leave, knowing what your job offers, knowing how all of that stuff works.
Yes.
Will put you in a better position to be better, because it's not just about being taken care of. It's about staving off, as you said, postpartum mm-hmm. depression. I think that a lot of women experience it and don't know, and it ends up carrying, you know,
yes.
the postpartum time period, which is considered mm-hmm. years. But I think for a lot of women, I know that was my experience. I didn't even know that I had postpartum depression, and it spiraled into, you know, deeper levels of anxiety and depression, and spiraled, you know.
Yes, I'm just getting over it for real. So when I was speaking with my therapist, I was like, it was 3-4 years at that point. And I'm like, my postpartum depression should be over. And she was like, postpartum depression doesn't really end until 5-6 years. You still have time. She's like, take your time and do what you need to do. And she gave me like different exercises and medication mm-hmm. to even like bring it down a little bit. It gets bad, and no one should experience that. And if you have any resources that you can obtain just to get a little bit of stress off your back, please use it, because this is not something that's just like, oh, it's just like a little post. It's not small at all. It's extremely dangerous.
Exactly. You know, and I'm thank you for bringing up medication, because yes. you know, that may be something that people feel embarrassed by or stigmatized mm-hmm. by, or something like, you know, oh, it's something, you know, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you know, it's okay to need that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay to take that. Oftentimes, even if you're breastfeeding and all of those things, you can still take medication. It will not harm,
yes.
you know, you and your baby. That is something that you and your provider can discuss. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm praying that those who need it more, especially in the African-American and people of color, you know, feel like it's something that they can access and use to be better and feel better. And you can use both. I'm a proponent of herbs. And you can use both herbs and, you know,
mm-hmm.
our medication. It's just a yeah. matter of closely monitoring yourself, you know, being aware of yourself and what's going on and how you feel and all of those things, so that you can come mm-hmm. to the best solution for you.
Yes.
So yeah, it's definitely I'm glad that you brought that topic up, because that's part of how, you know, postpartum doulas and such are useful, because I know I bring the Edinburgh scale there, which is the test that you take for after a woman has a baby, and sometimes they give them in doctor's offices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to see where women are with depression. It's a depression scale. So if they have that. And so there's so many things that, so many ways in which, you know, postpartum and birth perinatal care is so critical to access. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah. We're typically like the first responders of, we're the first people that they see after they have the baby. We're the first people they see when they find out that they're pregnant. With most of my clients, they find out around 4 to 6 weeks, but in New Jersey, we don't see any medical providers until 10 weeks. My appointments are typically way before that. I typically see them twice before they see their a midwife or OBGYN. So we are their first responders. We're the first people they see. We're the first people to notice when something isn't right. We're in their homes. We're taking care of them. And so we're able to point out when something just, when they need an extra resource or they need extra help.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point as well, right?
So, thank you. You
need that team in such a sensitive, you know, mm-hmm. time in life. So I wanted to see if you wanted to share anything about the history of, in your family of birth work, things that your grandma moms would have said to you or told you, you know, ways in which, you know, you can honor, we can honor our granny midwives in the this Black History Month, or anything in particular that you can share or want to share.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when you first said that, I had a memory. I'm sorry. I had a memory of my grandma. So my grandma Mary, she was from Buena Vista, Georgia, and she used to have like spider webs, and we couldn't kill the spiders because spiders are ancestors. And she said that they that we don't kill it, we don't clean the spider webs out, because the spiders are our ancestors, and the webs are, we can use it to clot blood for hemorrhaging. And I've always remembered that, like that has stuck in my mind. But when you said that, it reminded me that, because she was like, leave them spiders alone. Those are people. And she was like, the spider webs is for life. If you hemorrhage, you just stick it in the pack and it's like a Band-Aid. And, it'll clot up your blood, stop the bleeding and hemorrhaging and things like that.
What else? I have a couple of things to say about that. But first and foremost, my family is from Jamaica. So I was born in Jamaica.
Yes.
So in my process, first of all, when I asked my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, mm-hmm. about postpartum care, like what are some things that Jamaican women did? Because I didn't have my daughter in America or in Jamaica, so I did things completely different, right? Yeah. A whole nother conversation. And cobwebs, I want to say she called it cobwebs. She said that they make a tea from that. And I'm like, is that the spider web from the spider? I didn't ask her that question for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I'm going to ask her. And I'm wondering if you saw your grandmother making tea from it, from the cobwebs.
It might have been. I was like, five, maybe four. I was young. It might have been, but I always remember like it clots up your blood and you can use it as a Band-Aid.
Right. So I'm wondering same thing. The other thing is that this harkens for me, her saying that spiders are our ancestors, and it may, you know, people may not think, but I think Anansi, you know, if you ever heard the story of Anansi, it's the trick.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, in Jamaican tales, and it harkens from West Africa as well. So I'm curious how that connects, you know, because I know it connects. It's not even a question.
We gotta have a story behind it, because we have so many like ancestral stories with spiders and just so my family practices hoodoo, and we have like so many stories. Like my grandmother told us a story of a guy in a hurricane. And this is like, I'm sorry, this is all topic. he was in a hurricane and he kept he was like, God will save me. So like he pushed off the boat, and then another boat came and was like, I'll help you. He's like, no, God will save me, God will save me. And the boat left, and then a helicopter came, and the guy was like, no, God will save me, God got my back. And he sent away the helicopter, and then he finally drowned. And then this is like the shortened version. And then he asked God why he didn't save him. He's like, I sent you 2 boats in the helicopter. I didn't try to save you. We have like so many stories like that. And it's just like, it's like these morals, but it's funny stories.
I love that story. I love that story. 1, 2, you said the word hoodoo. Not everybody knows what that is now.
Yes.
So, you're gonna have to break that down.
Okay. So hoodoo is a spiritual practice that was originated from African American slave folks. So that's people typically in the southern states. It's like, it's not voodoo. It is just a spiritual practice. It's based off what we took from African traditional religions and Christianity. It's what we hid inside the Bible. And so with hoodoo, you'll realize with hoodoo practitioners, we also use the Bible. And so that's what it is. It's not, it's kind of like magic. It's spiritual work. It's root work. You might hear of root work, or it's called conjure.
Yes.
So basically using herbs and different.
Yes.
If you look in the history of midwives, you'll hear a lot of, and this is where the medical tradition and the lay midwives, I guess, come to a head, because the lay midwives had the access to the majority of women in the
side,
right? And those women wanted to use, and this is the same thing with today, by the way. If you go to other countries, women who live in rural areas, they want the midwives to come and deal with them, because they want to be able to use their quote unquote, what the medical establishment calls superstitious ways.
Yes.
And so a lot of things that are considered hoodoo are considered superstitious, using herbs for certain healings, even the cobwebs, and saying things like, you know, the spiders are our ancestors.
Yes.
That's considered superstitious, but that comes from somewhere, right? I remember putting up a post that said, you know, that science, what we call science, no, superstitions, or what people call superstitions, was really just science of the mind and the spirit, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. It was science of the mind and the spirit, whereas science now is basically, you know, data and numbers or whatever you want to call it. And so it's not that people didn't know, it's that we know in, you know, quantum physics and all of that, that your beliefs are high vibrational. So if people believe that something is going to be something that's healing, guess what?
It's going to heal.
Okay. Yes. And then there are things that people came to find that were healing, because think about ayahuasca, for example. I use that. People are using that ad nauseum now, right? But when you think about how people found out that it was something that was useful, it wasn't because they went into a lab. It was because they say that the plant spoke to them and told them what it was, right?
Yes.
So we don't have any issue with using that and thinking about that, but we demonize other ways of doing things. So that's just something to think about. And I say to women, you know, use your traditions. If it makes sense to you, if it works for you, use what works for you, because you need to be comfortable and you need to be relaxed in your, you know?
So. Yes. And like, even like, so we will walk the baby around the house 9 times for a blessing. Like, it's things like that. It's things that we still see in postpartum, like a lion, where we lay in bed for 40 days. And like, you're not really laying in bed for 40 days, but you lay in a bed for 7 days. And then for another 7 days, you get up and you go to the bathrooms like that. And it's just different things we do. And now a lot of that is proven to be like staying warm and drinking only soups and teas, collard greens, and just all the things we did, stools, not having ice immediately after labor, keeping your socks on and your head covered, and just all our beliefs is coming now out to that is really something, and is really things that actually work. It's proven now with data.
Exactly. And so we have to be careful of that too when it comes to these trainings, you know, and how they speak about certain traditions. I think that alienates a lot of women when, you know, traditional ways of doing things is alienated and spoken about in a negative way. I think that it's not the way to do things. And of course, it's alienating the women who are showing in the numbers, this data, that are not having the best birth experiences, which are women of color. Yeah. And so that's something to think about, and think about whether or not there's a connection between the two.
My grandma says that.
You know, just saying.
We stray away from our source.
Right.
Exactly. So we have no foundation. And so we're just in limbo doing things.
Right. Well, that's why we also have to take the reins and do things for ourselves too, right? And not rely on someone else's understanding of doing things to feel like we are validated. No, continue to do what you know that you do that works for you.
Right? Because Granny has some sense. She had 15 babies in the house.
Hello.
Was up and ready and okay.
Hello.
After her lying, right?
Hello. Okay. Seriously. Like, think about that. Some of us think about having that many children and we'd be passed out from you know?
Yes.
And we just live in a different time where, you know, we live in a
different
So those are important. So I applaud you and the work that you do. I know that I will definitely be taking some of your classes because I am a passionate learner as well. I'm older. Okay. And I love taking classes, quite frankly, with women with your kind of background who have come from a tradition of, because I feel like there's something to that in terms of the way that you carry the work, honestly. And so I love that.
I am honored. Thank you.
I will continue to support you and people like you in your work and what you do. And thank you so much for coming on. Was there anything else? Any other stories? I know that we were like, oh, I don't want to cut you off from, you know, speaking.
No, that triggered a childhood memory. It's just, I don't know. And sometimes I'll forget something and then someone will say something and then I'll remember, it'll trigger something. And I remember being back in Georgia. Like, I cannot wait to get back to Georgia and like to just be in that element. When I was looking at I'm tracing my ancestry and I was looking at my grandmother's census and she delivered all the babies like on her block. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing to see her, like, her name, and it's not all wrong, but it was just like amazing to see that. And it was just like, it's data that she was like, she was doing the work. And like, when somebody was in labor, they called her.
That is powerful. Oh my gosh. So say amazing. Her name. Say her name. What is your grandma's name?
Her name is Dorothy Hill.
Oh my goodness.
Dorothy Hill.
We love you. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
And my grandma now, Charlene, she is a great grandmother. She's still catching babies. Yeah. She's still teaching. And my mom, she's not catching babies right now. She's on vacation. But she's like, she's taking her time. I think she needed a break. She was going hard.
Vacation. That's serious work now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. But my grandma is still catching babies. She's a great grandma. Still catching babies.
I love it. I love it. And you're continuing the tradition with your daughter, who is already screened up in the way.
She's 16. She done had her doula babies.
That is powerful. Yes.
Thank you.
So powerful.
This is amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so thank you so much. Again, how can people reach out to you? How can they connect with you? And, you know, yeah.
So my personal Instagram is Authentically Diamond. You can catch me on there all the time. That's typically where I get most of my messages. I am professionally on Instagram as Mamisi's Birth Services. That's MAMMISSI Birth Services on Instagram. Mm-hmm. My Facebook is the same, Mamisi's Birth Services. That's typically all the handles are the same. On TikTok, it's Mamisi's Birth Services. On TikTok, my personal TikTok is Authentically Diamond. That is it. I don't know what else. Oh, my email is diamondthebirthworker@gmail.com. You can always email me. I check my emails there a lot. That's where I go also.
Excellent. And of course, I'll have that information down in the show notes for anyone to connect with you via those platforms. And yeah, connect with her, y'all. Get the baby, conceive that baby and get nurtured. And get yourself nurtured after having the baby, all of that.
Right. Okay. Mother and the mother, right?
All of it. Yes. Mothering the mother. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mother Diamond. It's such a pleasure to have you. And I know that we will meet again soon. Thank you
so much.
Did you like that? I know it was as informative for you as it was for me. Look, this is a process for all of us. And to keep this process going, I would love to invite you to donate to our podcast. We want to continue to give you high-level content. beautiful content that enlightens and inspires and broadens your vision to elevate you and evolve. So please feel free to go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/mommymatters. We would love to hear your questions and comments as well, so that we can discuss them in future podcasts. And you can email that to momevolve@gmail.com. You can also visit the website and send your comments there, www.mommyevolve.com. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace and love.